Welcome to In the Name of Game.
Welcome once again to In the Name of Game, a video game podcast. Today is July 28th, 2011. Guys, I'm your host, Iggy.
And I'm Adam.
And we got a bunch of fun stuff to talk to you today about. Last week, we're a little too busy, so we're back with a vengeance this week.
Yes, lots of topics.
Lots of fun stuff. Actually, first off, I'd like to mention something that has been a recurring issue for me for the past like week and a half. A lot of people have been frustrated with this company, but I'm not sure if they're really getting the message. Okay, so basically Capcom has been stumbling a lot lately. And, you know, it's no surprise that they were kind of greedy about re-releasing games in the past. You know, like how many versions of Resident Evil 1 do you own, you know? But they've been doing a lot of stuff lately that has kind of put a bad taste in everybody's mouth, you know, video game-wise. So, yeah.
That's the question.
Huh?
But are people willing to vote with their wallets?
I think they're going to be voting with their wallets now because, first of all, I didn't know that this was that popular, but apparently it was a sore point for people that Mega Man Legends 3, which was originally in development, it was probably going to be released this year, I don't know, was canceled. And I think maybe a big reason of that was because the lead for that, which, what's his name, Iwafune? Yeah, so Iwafune, who was basically the like developer for Mega Man, just said, see ya, got the hell out of there. But, you know, without him, I think maybe that was a big reason that Capcom said, you know, I don't know if we feel that good about doing this game anymore. But a lot of people apparently were really hoping that it was going to come out. And I played the first two Mega Man Legends way back in the day because, you know, they were...
Yeah, all... years ago. It's been 10 years since the second one.
And they were really fun. Like, I actually, you know, at first you would think, I don't know, about having RPG-type elements in, like, right. Well, action RPG elements in a Mega Man game. But it worked really well. And it really stood out. And it's a shame that they canceled it. But, okay, so people are already sore about that. That didn't help.
Right, so here's the checklist so far. It's re-releases, constant re-releases of everything.
Yeah.
Canceling Mega Man Legends 3.
Oh, and then they canceled that MMO Mega Man game, Mega Man Universe, I think it was called. That one I hadn't really cared that much about, but some people had been following that. So a lot of people right now are feeling like, oh, you guys are shitting on all the Mega Man fans. Like, what is wrong with you? And then... recently, they announced Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is going to come out. And people are like, what? Ultimate? What the fuck? And they've done this before with Street Fighter. They did Street Fighter 4, and then was it Super Street Fighter 4? You know, it's the same game, yeah. But more level backgrounds and more characters. But in this particular case, it was clear that the characters that they're releasing for the Ultimate one were actually originally going to be DLC characters. Like, they're already... I mean, Jill and Shuma Garath were pre-order bonuses for the first one. Like, I have those two.
They were time-delayed, though, right? Weren't they?
Yeah, it was so stupid. It was like... When did the game come out? It was at least a month or two after the game came out that I could actually use the code. So I was like, I don't know what that point, the point of that is, but okay. So there's that. And then they're adding Phoenix Wright, which is random. That's the only character that makes me almost want to get the game. Because
that's what everyone's been saying online. Like, they've been excited about that, but feel shitty overall about the whole...
Yeah. Like, you know. You got Ghost Rider, okay, whatever. You're going to get, what's his face from Dead Rising?
Frank West.
No.
No, it isn't. Is it Frank West, or is it the one from second game?
No, it's Frank West.
Okay.
Which is funny, because they already had him in, was it Capcom versus Tatsunoko before that the Wii game? He's probably going to be pretty similar. But I thought... first, like way before Marvel vs. Capcom 3 came out, that there were rumors he was going to be in the game. So that one would probably be a sore point for me, because then it definitely feels like stuff that was hidden in the existing game is now right. going to be something you have to pay for again. Yeah, Ghost Rider, I don't really care too much about, but people were rumoring him for a while, so that seems to not be a big surprise to people. But yeah, Phoenix Wright is the only character that maybe, like, I'm gonna find videos on YouTube just to see what his super looks like. Is he like, objection, bam, you know, like some big mallet maybe falling on someone's head or something? Oh, and Hawkeye from The Avengers, which, you know, Hawkeye's kind of like always.
Well, I guess there's probably like timing. When is this supposed to be released?
Later this year. So they're like, I can't remember the actual release date. It's you know, it's got to be this year.
Yeah, so they're doing it like Hawkeye's going to be in the Avengers movie, played by Jeremy Renner. There's a new Ghost Rider movie coming out next year.
Well, I also kind of wonder if they're just characters that would lend themselves well to a fighting game. Because a lot of these guys are people, especially Hawkeye, he's been in a bunch of side-scrolly kind of fighting games before.
Yeah. Like
the old school Avengers game. So that one, yeah, it's kind of a no-brainer, I guess. Ghost Rider, I'm not sure if that's really timed for the movie, although it is convenient because people had been, you know, rumbling about him before.
Yeah.
Basically, they're just trying to get all the unusual, well-known Marvel characters, which makes sense. But that's not the point. The point is that they're going to be mushing this all together with a couple of new, you know, backgrounds for each, you know, background levels for each character, and shipping it full price as a totally separate game from the previous Marvel vs. Capcom. So first of all, that pisses me off, because I don't want to have to buy the game again. And it's sort of like, just because I buy it doesn't mean my brother, who I usually play the game with, is also going to get that. He's probably not going to get it. He's going to be like, oh, I don't really care about it. Which means I'm going to be out a regular sparring partner. And the other thing that was really annoying was Capcom claimed that this was all because of the tsunami. Like, oh, because we were set so far back because of the tsunami, things that were clearly going to be DLC were just kind of, we decided to shift our focus and make it a game. So let me get this straight, Capcom. You're blaming your greed for wanting to get more money out of people on a terrible tragedy as the
That is so, because they're also like, that's a preemptive strike as well, because if anyone calls them out on it, which people still are doing, but they call them out and they're like, well, hey, it was the tsunami. Like,
how are you? That's terrible. It's awful.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's so crappy.
Like, you ever watched the old Conan O'Brien? This would be the part where one of those Capcom guys' faces would appear, and then there would be the stamp that goes, ass.
Yeah.
Like, what are you guys doing? Just admit you're fucking greedy. Just like you're doing with all these re-releases of Resident Evil in HD. And say, look, okay, we want more money because we can't come up with enough unique ideas. Like, the only thing I can think of that's remotely new that they're doing, and it's still not really new, is that Capcom versus Namco? Or no, like, Tekken versus Street Fighter. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Where, you know, okay, you're actually making Tekken characters in Street Fighter style for the first time. So that's technically new. However, the content's not really new because they're still doing a lot of the same moves. Like, it's not like you're starting from square one with something brand new. So poop on you guys for for not being original ever. Like, what happened, you know?
Yeah, I mean, no one wants to try to make a new IP happen, you know? So they just say,
it's like they think they're Nintendo.
Yeah.
Like they think they can. Nintendo magically, at least for now, gets away with all the re-releases. Actually, we should talk about that later. But, like, for example, there's Resident Evil 4 and Resident Evil Code Veronica that are being given HD re-release treatment.
Yeah.
And, you know, Resident Evil 4 is newer, obviously, so it actually doesn't look so terrible. So that's the one that a lot of fans say, like, well, if I was going to get a re-release, I'd probably get that one, just because, you know, it still looks decent.
Yeah.
But if you look at some videos online for the Resident Evil Code Veronica HD re-release, and a lot of people are like, what is this? This looks almost just as bad as the regular version.
Wow.
Like, you guys didn't really try to make it super nice HD, did you? It looks bad still. So I don't know. The one I'm waiting for is just, if you're going to do re-releases, and this is probably too much work for them, just do a goddamn brand spanking new version of Resident Evil 2. Don't do this, a Raccoon City? You know the one that's coming out that's co-op?
Yeah.
That's where you're in Umbrella during that time period? No, I don't want that shit. Just give me the redone Resident Evil 2 with the exact same stuff happening, but, you know, updated graphics. And I think the reason why they're not going to ever do that one is because so many of the backgrounds were just, you know, painted, like a flat. Yeah. And that would require them to basically redo all of that, because it's not like one of these polygonal ones where they can just, you know, kind of upscale the graphics or use versions of the graphics maybe that they had to downgrade before for that system.
Yeah.
It's very disappointing, Capcom. I don't know. I mean,
Capcom.
Shaking my head at you guys. Very bad.
Wait, they also did the, they had the whole, their new version of the online pass system for the mercenaries, right?
You were there, yeah. Right? We talked about that before. I don't think they're removing that because, you know, it's too late to do, but,
right.
They were the ones, yeah, that were guilty of having that that save one game that you can never delete.
Yep.
So that's
I think another strike against them.
Yeah, no, I think they realized from the backlash from that was bad. I would be very surprised if they did that again for a game. I mean, if they did, wow, that would just be the clearest indication that they're completely out of touch with.
Yeah, they just don't give a shit. Like, you guys keep buying it. We'll keep doing whatever we want to do.
Well, that's the thing. That's why, like what you said before, people totally have to vote with their wallets. Because if nobody buys any of these ridiculous re-releases, then it'll be clear to them, like, look, maybe we can't just rehash shit to oblivion over and over again. Maybe we might have to make stuff that people actually want. And I bet at that point is when they'd revisit Mega Man Legends 3. They'd be like, never mind. We were just psych, you know, like.
We need to get them back on our side, quick.
We were just kidding. Here's Mega Man Legends.
Kids listening, if you're curious about any of these HD remakes here, steal them. Just steal them.
Wait, what?
Pay for them. I'm telling kids under 18, you're not going to do any time if you get caught. Just steal the games. GameStop, preferably, because GameStop sucks. yeah, just walk in, grab a couple of them, you know, Code Veronica, if you're really interested, walk out with it. That's what I recommend.
You might as well just fucking get, like, a PS2 and just get the older versions. It looks like, from the looks of it, it sounds like it's going to look just about as good. So...
Yeah, go to GameStop and then pay the same amount for the PlayStation 2 version as you would for the new version of the new game.
Just the price of zero.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I think a lot of companies are falling into this trap where people, because maybe they have a brand loyalty or something, will end up, at least for one or two games, saying, oh, okay, I'll buy it. But I don't think a lot of these companies realize, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. You know, like, it's very possible that people will do, like, a backlash to Capcom and any other company that does this shit and say, you know what, fuck you. There's too many good games out there. We don't have to keep buying the same game over and over again. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's stupid.
Vote with your wallets, kids, or steal.
Yeah. Well, like I was saying before, like, Nintendo is getting away with this because every time they re-release something, they change it just enough so that people think, okay, it's kind of worth my money. Like, Ocarina of Time 3DS?
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people that passed on it, but I do also know people that bought it, and it's because the upgraded graphics and the fact that it's in 3D.
Yeah.
Although I've been hearing a lot of people saying they're kind of getting out of that 3D phase already.
Wow.
Which is, I think it's just, maybe it does a number on your eyes after a while, you know? Like, maybe it's just a little too, too intense for your vision after a while. I have no idea. But there's some games that people turn off the 3D.
Right. You can adjust it to how much depth you want to experience.
Right.
Wow.
It's also kind of disappointing to me just because it's still that aquarium type 3D. Like, yeah. If I get 3D, I want it in my face. Like, I don't want it, like, something where I would have to reach out for it. Like, for whatever reason, even though that's technically a 3D effect, it doesn't feel quite as dramatic for me, you know?
That's funny. I've never heard anyone say aquarium, but that makes perfect sense.
Well, when I was talking to some folks about that, they kind of agreed that, like, that's the effect you're getting. Like, if you're looking in an aquarium, you get those little fishies swimming around. You want to reach out and, like, grab one. But it's not like the fish are swimming at your face. They're swimming, you know, right behind that glass.
Right.
So, yeah. And then they're going to do Star Fox, which some people are somewhat excited about. I would be more excited if it was a new Star Fox.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why they don't just do that as a... I mean, because that's the problem with 3DS. Like, it had the gimmick, just the way that the DS had, like, a gimmick. But it's failing because they're not starting the system off with new stuff. They're starting the system off with rehashed stuff. So I think a lot of people are feeling very lukewarm about it because, you know, I already played this game or I already played that game. Do I need to play it again in a smaller resolution? You know, like, what am I getting out of this that I didn't get the first time? Because even the DS had, you know, a different, its own Star Fox game and its own Zelda game, you know? So what the hell, I don't know.
Do you think, like, this time around, Nintendo execs, they're like, okay, it's a big gamble. The 3DS is a big gamble. So if we're gambling so hard on the hardware, then maybe our software has to be something that's proven. So let's do all the favorite titles that we've had and just make them 3D.
Right.
Let's throw them on this. Like,
I
guaranteed
think
sales.
If they had been a little, like, if they'd mixed it up a bit, like, if they'd had some old titles with new ones, then that would have been one thing. But a lot of the new titles, like, they're not these big blockbuster hits the way that the old ones are. So it's very lopsided to me. Like, you got Metal Gear 3 that's coming out on the DS, which is the only one I was remotely interested in. But then I thought about it. I'm like, I think, like I mentioned last time, I have two versions of that game already. I don't need any more. Like, what are you guys doing? And they're going to make HD versions for the PS3. So if I really wanted to, I'm just going to get those.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want, you know, tiny squinty version with 3D that I'm eventually going to get tired of. And especially the controls will probably not be as good because, you know, they're having to adapt it to DS controls.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Well, hey, let's talk about the anti-Capcom, and that's the Humble Bundle.
Ah, yeah, that's what just came out this week.
Yep. This is the antidote to the Capcom mentality. It's for those of you who don't know about it. It is five different indie games made by indie developers that are bundled together, and you can set the price. You can pay what you want for it. You can give them a penny for five games.
That would be a pretty asshole-y thing to do, though.
Yeah. I mean, like, currently the average is, like, $5 that people are paying, so about $1 a game. But from that, they've made $600,000.
Yeah, that's great.
That's like, that is voting with your wallet, you know? And some of that money goes to charity. You can set how much you want to go to a couple different charities.
And what are the charities?
Child's Play is one of them.
Always a good one.
Yeah. You know, it's for children in hospitals to get games and toys and stuff. And the other one, what's the other one? You looked into the other one.
Right? Let's see if I still have that.
It was like net neutrality, but
Oh, EFF. So it's the Electronic Frontier Foundation. So a lot of the stuff they worry about is, you know, internet rights, gamers' rights, you know, stuff that laws that are trying to be passed that would potentially give you a hard time, you know, traversing the internet. Basically, actually, they have one right here that says oppose Congress's criminal streaming bill. So they are up to date with trying to protect our, you know, internet liberties. Which
right.
A lot of people, what's funny is, it's, I think, a big generational gap. Like, a lot of younger people are much more aware of the importance of freedom of using internet and media and all these things. And a lot of the older generation, maybe they don't quite understand the ramifications of, you know, if a bill passes limiting people's usage or bandwidth or something. So
yeah, they didn't grow up with it like all of us have, and so they don't understand it. So they're trying to control it the only way they know how, and the only way that they've been doing for years, decades, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to get a grasp on any new thing that comes out, and it's just not the nature of the beast this time.
Right.
So yeah, it's good charity.
Yeah, it's definitely a good, good one to donate to. So those are the two charities, right? And you get a lot of good games. I actually already have, I don't even know how you say it. It's VVVVV.
Right.
VVV?
Six Bs.
Six Bs. Almost everybody probably has that game already, but there's several other ones. Hammer Fight and Yet It Moves. Cogs and Crayon Physics Deluxe. So these are definitely different games from the bundle pack I got before. But, you know, they're a worthwhile cause. And, hey, people plunk money into things that are much less deserving. So I think, you know, so it's just humblebundle.com. It's the easiest URL in the world.
Humblebundle.com. All the games are cross-platform. They work on Macs or Windows, Linux. Yeah. DRM free, they say, so you can install it many times as you want and across all of your computers. So
I mean, I always like that. DRM free is the way to be. It's the, always the preferred preferred program type. Because what was it? Ubisoft with Assassin's Creed 2, I think, back in the day. You know, a lot of companies run into problems where their DRM kind of backfires on them. And, you know, paying customers end up having to deal with all this shit caused by DRM. And I think any game that doesn't have it is definitely, they get bonus points in my book. So, yeah. So the Humble Bundle.
So 12 days left. So you can rush out and get it.
It's weird that they have a specified day. I guess maybe when there's only a certain number of days left, it makes you feel like you really have to get it. Like if it was an ongoing thing, maybe less people would be buying.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, they've sold 130,000 copies because people are like, oh, this just started and it's going to end soon. And yeah, it's legit. It's a great thing to buy and enjoy.
Yeah. Oh, definitely, definitely do it. So there's that. There's a couple, and now that I'm thinking about companies, there's a couple EA things I'd like to talk about.
Get them off your chest.
Yes. Well, actually, one thing is something I was amazed about, and that is the pre-orders for Old Republic, Star Wars Old Republic, started this week. Actually, they were last week, I believe. And what amazed me was that the first day that the pre-order started, they had a collector's edition. And it comes with, you know, statuette and all this extra, like, physical stuff with your game. And that sold out the first day. Like, there's so many people. That just indicates how many people want this game so bad.
Yeah.
That on Origin and on, well, Origin is digital, so I'm assuming it would be from EA itself. And Amazon and some other sources, they just all, almost all of them sold out of the collector's edition. So, and that's not a cheap thing. It's, I think, like $150 or something.
Wow. So, I didn't even know that it was that much because usually they're about $100, you know, that's usually the price point. But
it comes with, it's because it comes with the statue. I'm sure that's where a lot of the money goes. The reason why I didn't get it is because I don't really, Like, my boyfriend wants to be a Sith. That's fine. But I don't want to be one. And I don't like how the...
We're talking about this before.
Yeah. I don't want to be forced to have a Sith statue for my collector's edition. It would have been cool if they had a Jedi you could choose from, or the Sith. But I've only seen the Sith. And I'm like, oh, no. I have enough fucking statues in my apartment. I don't need one that I'm halfway about. Like, just forget it. Yeah. Or a scoundrel one. That would be great. Put it next to my Han Solo. But actually, it's pretty funny that they're already doing the pre-orders, because a lot of people, as soon as you mention pre-order, I think to a lot of people, they think that the game's practically out. So there was a lot of fanaticism last week going like, oh, hey, so we get this early access code when we pre-order, so when do we get to use it? I can't use it right now. Why isn't it working now? It's like, well, you're not going to be able to use it. Like, you can enter the code now.
Do you think it also helped that, like, that Comic-Con was going on and everyone was that, and that was probably fueling it? So.
Probably. I mean, if it was anything like E3, they probably had some playable, like, you know, 20-minute demo sessions for Old Republic.
Yeah.
So that usually by itself is enough to get people excited. But I was kind of looking at the details with my boyfriend about, you know, you can have companions with you, like little NPC guys.
Yeah.
And depending on what class you pick, those companions differ. And at first he was giving me shit because I really want to try the smuggler. And I want to do, you know, the scoundrel, not the gunslinger class. Yeah. And he was like, let's see what the companion is for that. And it's a fucking Wookiee. So I'm going to be using a Wookiee in your face. You using a... What the hell does he have? He, you know, some like little Sith assistant or something. I almost convinced him, almost, to be a Jedi. Because, okay, like any other BioWare game, you can make verbal choices that affect your light side, dark side, whatever. And what they're saying, supposedly, is that even if you're a light side Jedi or, you know, super dark side Sith, you can still make somewhat good or bad choices, you know, that are kind of counter to what that guy is.
Right.
And that tempted him, because he thought, you know, if you're a Sith, you're almost expected to do everything super asshole-ish. But how much more interesting would it be if you were a Jedi that acted, you know, slightly evil, like a fallen Jedi or something.
Yeah.
He's still technically a Jedi. So I had him almost sold on being a fucking Jedi so we could actually play in the same, because, you know, there's two factions.
Yeah.
This is the problem that we had before. So if I'm a scoundrel, I can't play with him because somehow, like I mentioned before, scoundrels, for whatever reason, are still good guys, even though if you think about it, they should be either way. So I almost had him convinced to be Jedi until we looked at that goddamn companion for the Jedi, and it's a fucking droid. And he's like, what? You get a Wookiee, and I get this little knockoff R2-D2? No, no. And then he backpedaled completely and decided to be a Sith again. And I thought, fuck. God damn it. Like, I was so close. So close. I'll try again, though.
Keep arguing about the important things.
Oh, come on. If that's the only thing we argue about, I think we're all right.
Yeah.
But anyway, no, I do think it's a little silly. But I think there will be companions that aren't mentioned on the website details. Because when I was watching that stuff at E3, I clearly noticed somebody with a Jawa. And they didn't show a Jawa anywhere on anybody's companion thing. So I would like a Jawa if I can't have a Wookiee. Or maybe both. I mean, I think you might be able to have more than one companion on your ship. Yeah. So, that should be fun. Man, that's going to suck up so much of everybody's life. Like, as soon as people get into it, you'll see, like, less people on the street. It's just everybody's going to be at home plugged into a screen. Okay, so that was the Old Republic. That pre-order. But the other EA thing, which is also BioWare related, that I thought was interesting this week was that they are doing this thing on Facebook where they have, I think, about six or nine different preset faces for what they are trying to make a default for Commander Shepard for Mass Effect 3, for the female one.
Yeah.
And I find this interesting just because they're saying, okay, so you need to like Mass Effect 2 on Facebook to start this. And once you do that, you can like one of the faces. And the one that has the most votes or likes, whatever, they will consider to... I mean, that doesn't mean they have to make it the default face, but they will seriously consider making that the default face. And so I got excited. I was like, oh, shit, let me go see these pictures. And there's this one girl that I think looks the toughest. It, she looks like maybe she's a mixture of, like, black and something, not Hispanic. I don't know. But she's mixed, and she has long black hair, and she has a very intense, like, sort of face. And I thought, dude, she looks badass. I'm going to vote for her. So I did like. And she has a, you know, a respectable amount of likes. She's got, like, 11,000 or something. And then I go through all the pictures just to see the like numbers. And the one that has the most so far is the one that looks the... I was going to say the pussiest. The one that looks the weakest, which is this girl with, like, long, flowing, curly, wavy blonde hair, who basically looks like a mix between, like, fucking Princess Peach and Samus.
Oh, wow. She has... Yeah, the one, the blonde one has... Let's see...
It's like 20,000 or something.
28.
Ugh. Why?
And that you like has 11,000.
Yeah, I mean it's still that's not the lowest voted one, but it's not.
No, actually, that's the second highest. Yours is the second highest voted.
But I just don't think she looks tough. And when I see her looking straight at the camera, it looks almost kind of doofy. Like, come on.
Yeah.
You got her compared to the male default Shepard, which obviously they're not going to change. And she doesn't look badass to me at all, but...
I'd like any of them except for the redhead.
Yeah. Wait, with the tied-up hair or whatever?
Yeah, no ginger, sorry.
See, I don't like any of the ones that have their hair tied up, because then it... I don't know. Something about showing the forehead. Or, like, they look a little less, less awesome to me. Maybe a little bit too much like a dude. I don't know. But regardless, some people are hoping that they end up using these as selectable presets, like all of them, for your game. Because that would be kind of cool. Because, you know, they didn't really have that before. Before, it's either, you know, the default or you had to make your own. But if they have one of these that you can start off with, maybe people will be more likely to choose from those.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Yeah, but I think that's an interesting choice. And I think... It took them a little too long, but I do think it's positive that they are trying to give the female Shepard a bit more of a prominent role in marketing this time around. Like, they've already established, like, we are going to have a trailer with the female Shepard, and we are going to put her on some advertising. So a lot of people like me that thought, you know, I don't want to call her FemShep because I always think it's stupid when I hear it. But I don't really consider Shepard, like, a dude half the time.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I play. I mean, I have to use it because anytime I'm talking to someone and they're like, Shepard, he did this. And I'm like, well, wait. And so I have to say I play as FemShep, you know.
But, yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't know because I've played both the first two games as a female character. So it just doesn't even register to me. So, yeah, I'd like that to be more of the towards the norm, you know?
Yeah. Oh, hey, David just popped on. Let me add him. Hello. We just finished talking about Mass Effect 3.
Ooh.
Ooh. You haven't played any of those though.
No, I don't even know.
it's a good game. Or a good setting.
David, have you heard about the Humble Bundle?
No, what is that?
Oh, you're going to have to listen to the rest of the episode.
Oh, shit.
No, basically, just a really quick recap, is that it is a set of indie games that all the proceeds are going to two charities.
Nice. Well, you can choose. You can choose. They're not all going to charities. If you want them to, they will, what you pay for the games. But you can decide the split between the devs, the publishers, and two different charities.
Yep. Cool.
And you pay what you want. Five games.
Interesting.
Yep.
Maybe I have heard of this, because I thought I saw somebody posting on Facebook about this today.
Well, the two charities are the was it the Electronic Frontier Foundation?
Yeah.
Oh, and Child's Play.
Oh, Child's Play. Yeah, that was it then. Yep.
Very positive stuff. Very worthwhile games to buy. But yeah, so we talked about that. Talked about Mass Effect 3. This isn't a major thing, but I thought this was funny that that failure of a Star Wars Kinect game is going to be released in a bundle with a brand new Xbox 360. And the kicker is that the 360 is going to be designed, not like the shape won't be different, but the coloring will be different. So it resembles like R2-D2's colors. And then the controller will be gold like 3PO. Like the little wiring and stuff on the middle of the controller and stuff.
Yeah.
And it'll come with Star Wars Kinect. And I just thought it was funny because my boyfriend was like, I have to get that bundle. I said, but I told him, like, Star Wars Kinect looked really bad. It's probably going to be shit. And he's like, I don't care. I want that 3PO controller and I want that R2-D2 box. That's good for me. I'm like, okay, whatever. Just don't complain to me when you're, like, swiping one swipe a minute, you know, in the Star Wars Kinect game.
And then walking in place to move around.
It looks so dumb. Who knows? I mean, there's still time between now and then. Not a lot, but maybe they'll redo the entire game. Good. So there's that. What else? Oh, and some good news this past week and a half is that the Uncharted movie, which originally was going to be directed by David O. Russell, and was going to feature Marky Mark. Uh-oh. I mean, Mark Wahlberg, as his professional name might be, has been given the boot.
Okay.
Or not given the boot, I think he just left it. And so...
That's directed by Uwe Boll, right?
No! God, that would be terrible. Thank God it's not. No, Neil Berger... Who
okay.
did, I think, Limitless, I guess, came out recently, is going to be doing the movie now. And the first good thing I've heard about this is that he is throwing out everything. He's like, fuck it, we need to restart this from scratch. So no more ridiculous plot where Nathan Drake and his family of thieves are doing things with supposed... I think at one point they were trying to get, like... They were rumoring De Niro or some ridiculous shit.
Yeah, De Niro and Pesci were both supposed to be roles.
Yeah, can you imagine that? Pesci, De Niro, I think De Niro, I'm just putting that in there, and Wahlberg as like a family for Nathan Drake in Uncharted. Like, just shoot yourself in the head now. Don't go see the movie.
Only acceptable answer in this situation is Josh Holloway has been somehow cast into the role of Nathan.
That wouldn't be bad. If you could dye his hair and cut it, he has kind of the right demeanor.
Just be like, hey, don't change anything.
Be Sawyer, but smart.
Yeah. And then, yeah. You are perfect for this role.
Yeah, and then I agree. So Berger is basically saying, like, okay, we're going to throw everything out, going to start over again. He hasn't said who he's going to pick for the actor. But a lot of people now, this is their cue to say, Nathan Fillion, oh my God! You know, because he was kind of the front runner for a lot of fans to be Nathan Drake. Not just because he looks like him, but because... A lot
same
of the
humor.
Yeah, same sense of humor. A lot of his roles have been very similar to Drake. I'm sure they'll never admit it, but it definitely feels like Naughty Dog was maybe like a Firefly fan or something. So that maybe influenced them to use that kind of character. I don't know. But I do think it's really positive that he has said that he wants to make sure it feels a lot truer to the games. And... hopefully, that means that, you know, the script that's going to be made is going to feel closer to, like, something that would actually be in a game as opposed to the crap that Russell was going to try to do.
Right on.
So, yay! Anyway. I think this is noteworthy. I'm sure I'll update us if things go south. So I hope that movie's good. It's one of those things where, do they even really need to make the movie? You know, like, if they were going to, for a long time, remember they were going to do a Metal Gear Solid movie? Who knows, maybe that's still in development hell. But a lot of people said, you know, the games already are so cinematic, and, you know, you're watching so many cutscenes.
Yeah.
Do you really need a movie? And the same thing with Uncharted. Like, it feels like such an experience overall that will it ever be as satisfying, you know, just being a blockbuster film?
I hate to break this to you, but I have a feeling that the driving force of this decision is not artistic. So.
It's probably not, but I mean...
Your mouth. Shut it. I don't believe you for one second.
What? No! You mean that Super Mario Brothers, the movie, was made as an artistic extension of the video game?
Now, I gotta say, somebody must have been smoking something crazy when they made that movie, the Mario Brothers movie, because some of their ideas, like, where did you get that idea from? Like, okay, there's a bomb, but what?
Yeah.
And there's Koopa Troopers, but they look fucking weird, and the tiny heads, and then, okay, Dennis Hopper is King Koopa. What is that? Like,
well,
it's like an acid trip.
You could be opening up a can of worms.
A can of Goombas?
Can of Goombas. A can of, I hop around in this sock, wind-up sock thing. because I actually have a whole lot to say about that. I now must restrain myself. But
what about the Mario movie?
Yeah, exactly. I have the Mario movie. It's one of those things where when I saw it as a kid, I have to just not go into this, but but like, suffice to say, when I saw it as a kid, it was one of those things where, like, as a kid, I just want, you know, like, you know, when I heard, like, oh my God, there might be a Mario Brothers movie, you know.
Got excited.
And, yeah, I was excited. And to me, just the prospect of that, like, immediately my mind was like, holy shit, there might be like a Metroid movie and like a Sonic movie. Holy shit, that could be so cool. I was super excited. And in my head, I was just like, I was like, oh my God, like, it just had like so many hopes in my head, like, oh.
And they were all crushed.
This could happen and this could happen. And like, as a kid, I was kind of just the idea of like, okay, if it's not 100% exactly like the video game, I will be disappointed, you know? And of course I went and saw it and I was disappointed, but then I saw it again when I was in college, and seeing it again was like super fascinating to me. And I was like, you know, like, second viewing of this is a whole different experience. And like, there's so many great things that I feel like I can say about it. And I should say that overall, I think the movie's still shit. But, but like, when I think about the prospect of that movie, and if I try to put myself in the shoes of the production on that movie, and I think to myself, like, holy cow, okay, there's no way we can make this movie just like the game and have it be, well, one, with the technical restraints, you know, at the time, like, okay, we can't really achieve this look, you know, but,
right.
And simultaneously, like, oh my God, are we really going to make a movie about a dude, like, busting bricks and going through tubes, and, you know, like, it just seemed, if I was there, I'd be like, no way, dude, like, the only way that we can do this movie is to just go crazily in the opposite direction, and, like, kind of like bring in aspects of the game world, like the elements of it, but not have it try, like, attempt to resemble the game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when I watch the movie in that way, I'm like, damn it, like, what crazy solutions, like, and the thing is like, no, this doesn't make it okay that the Koopas are super weird looking, you know? Like, there's kind of no excuse for that. But it is interesting to think about this whole idea of, like, you know, King Koopa is just Dennis, this evolved human, you know, like this Dennis Hopper character who somehow was like, oh yeah, like, we're sick of being shit on, basically. And We were going to evolve, and we're going to like move ourselves into this other world and pretty much take over, you know. Although, when I think about that and be like, oh yeah, and if we can sprinkle in like some cool shit, like there's that weird woman that they encounter in kind of at the beginning of the second act where she's got like those bizarro boots on, and they kind of make her jump mega high, and it's like, oh yeah, this is kind of like a Super Mario jump, you know?
Or the Kuribu shoe.
What?
It kind of reminded me of the Kuribu shoe or whatever from Mario 3.
What's that?
Or they might have also called it the Latiku boot. Like, you know, the one that you're in Giant Land? Or, no, wait. Which land was it?
We were just talking about that. The sock that has a little wind-up thing
right,
on it.
Right, 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 that.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure I read the instruction manual and saw the word Latiku boot.
It's either, I can't remember, it's like Kuribu shoe or Latiku boot? I can't remember.
I don't think our studio audience is going to know.
I'm sure they know.
If they're all exactly like you.
Oh, wait, here, there's a Mario Wiki, and it's called the Kuribu shoe or a Goomba's shoe, which is obvious because there's a Goomba in it.
But they were like metal crazy robo boots and it was cool like that they like sprinkled in like the sound effects as well, like recognizable like samples from the game. And then of course like the bomb mom, it was like, okay, awesome, like we have one thing in the movie that's just exactly like the game, you know, which is great. Even though I remember seeing the movie and being like, damn it, it's tiny, I want it to be giant. Like,
it's not
it
exactly like the game either. It has to be wound up like a toy.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, I assume in the game that like some off-screen character is like some, you know, like Koopa is like winding that shit up and tossing it. So I think the version in the movie somehow like super accurately represented exactly what I thought was going on in the game. I was like, yeah, like. Sweet, somebody wound it up, and now they're screwed. Although, I was like, oh, but it's not moving very fast, and it's super duper tiny.
Everyone's like, a bomb!
Those things, apparently they happen all the time, because everybody knows what it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, interesting. But anyway, before, you know, I should stop myself.
I think the difference in this case, though, is that the Uncharted movie, and even to a certain extent the Metal Gear movie, it's a little easier in some ways to make a movie transition, because it's not quite as fantasy-oriented, although some parts of Metal Gear are.
Yeah, and I mean, it's deeply rooted in reality. Like, there's a realism, to the Uncharted games.
Even
if that realism is like Indiana Jones realism.
Right. Now I was gonna say that's about as real as it is with the, you know, the little this artifact is doing something crazy now and things are turning into other things and there's zombies and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's still within the realm of kind of believability. It's not like a plumber going into pipes and jumping on turtles and like,
wait, plumbers do go into pipes though.
I mean, yeah, but they don't also grab stars and start going invisible.
That's a good start on straight. Plumbers, in fact, do deal with that. Was awesome.
If these people were flushing some crazy shit, then that plumber could be dealing with stars and piranha plants.
You know, what would have been funny is if they had taken the route where, like, at the end, kind of like a memento kind of thing, like with a twist or whatever, you find out that really it's just a plumber that's had like a bad trip. And so like the whole movie is just like him imagining himself like in a game or whatever.
Or perhaps this. Perhaps I'll mail this idea in a envelope back to 1991. but perhaps the entire bizarro underworld of evil turtles and gigantic mutant dragon-like characters are the result, as we've seen so many times, of many generations of kids flushing turtles down the toilet. And now there is an actual mutagen version of all of these, you know.
Like the Ninja Turtles.
Exactly. Like Ninja Turtles.
Well, that worked as a movie, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I went and saw that and was opposite of Mark. I was like, damn it. I don't care if this movie's 10 hours long. I will watch every every
Well,
hour.
I always thought it was weird how that it was so much. I mean, I guess they were being more like the comic, but they were so much more serious than the cartoon. So that was a bit of a jarring thing for me, like having Raphael be like an asshole.
Huh?
Like he was in the like I hadn't read the comic when I was a kid. Apparently in the comic that's a lot truer to what he's like, but in the cartoon, you know, he's like, "Hey, I'm a little jokey guy. I'm not serious at all. I'm just cracking jokes at everybody."
I think we had opposite experiences with that because I remember like in the cartoon, I was like, "God damn it, Raphael, shut the hell up." Like I just couldn't stand him.
And so, oh, he was my favorite.
Well, I know. You love the jokey, silly guys. but yeah, I was like so obsessed with Leonardo and was like, yeah, like that guy's stone cold serious and like he wants to kick some serious ass, you know.
Some
and
shell.
So in the movie, yeah, he's going to kick some shell if he doesn't get shell shocked first.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so in the movie, I think like, I mean, it's interesting to hear that observation because I'm sure what you're saying is absolutely true, and I'd never even thought about it until right now. Because to me, I was just like, oh yeah, they were super silly in the movie too, and I think it was just because like any degree of silliness was silly to me. Where I was like, what? They're being silly? Man, cut that out. You're fucking Ninja Turtles. You should take out the world. Like, I just like wanted them to just kick all ass and like destroy everything and be super cool. And
well, they got sillier as the movies went on. Like the second one was getting goofier, and the third one was just obnoxious. Like when they get sent to Japan or whatever.
Yeah,
that was stupid.
It's interesting.
Well, if you remember, the second one got goofier because there was a big parental backlash about them using real weapons.
Oh, so really?
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, the second one, that's why they started out with like, oh, look, they're just using toys now. Like, kids wouldn't be able to get their hands on a yo-yo versus, you know, nunchucks.
Well, remember, like, what was bizarre was that, not to stray too far off, but the nunchucks were the ones that apparently kids gravitated towards, not swords and not, you know, a bow staff, which maybe, oh, it's a stick, you know, but... like if you watch the cartoon, and I watched it a lot, at a certain point, one of the seasons, just like all of a sudden, Michelangelo didn't have nunchucks at all. He had that annoying, stupid like grappling hook with like a turtle shell or something at the like it was really tiny at the end. So he would use that to like catch everybody all the time, and he didn't have nunchucks anymore. And I always thought at the time I didn't understand what the change was. It's like, that's stupid. Everybody, like, Raphael still has his size, but like no more nunchucks. But apparently people really, maybe kids, not myself, but maybe kids really liked Michelangelo the best or something and was like, hey, I want nunchucks, and start hitting each other with nunchucks. Just, you know, mess things up for everybody.
Yeah. All right. Rate. Before we exit this topic, rate your turtles 1 through 4, awesome to least awesome.
Wait, are we including like their how good they are in the games? Because that does kind of impact my decision, especially like turtles 2 and 3.
No, games exempt. Personalities only.
Okay.
Oh wow.
Okay, you go first then, David.
Yeah, games, you're gonna have to go first.
Games not
gonna...
exempt. Oh wait, games still exempt, but weapons still. Included in this because they use their weapons in the show too.
Yeah.
So weapons are not exactly
separate from weapons.
Okay, so personal experience with your interaction with the turtles is exempt.
What?
Like personal use of the turtles weapons exempt. Turtles
what?
Use.
Have you been using still. Katanas lately? What?
No, I'm saying.
You were one of those nunchuck kids, weren't you?
No, can only factor in the actual, like, writer's version of the turtles' use of their own weapons from the
okay.
show.
Okay. So what? You go first. What's your order?
I'm just going to give up because I've now made this far too complicated, even for my own tastes. Okay, my own rating. Number one, Leonardo. Number two, Raphael. Number three, Michelangelo. And number four, Donatello.
Poor Donatello. I was gonna have him be fourth too. Nobody wants to be Donatello.
yay, eat shit, everyone from my childhood. Because, dude, when I was a kid, everyone I knew was like, Donatello is the greatest. And I was like, no, he's a loser. Yeah. He sucks. And I just didn't get it. I was like, what am I missing? Why does everybody think he's so great?
Okay, Donatello's going to be my number four, too. But I want to defend him here because it's only because it's such a close race between all of them. Donatello, he's the inventor. He's the brains of all of them. Plus, with the bow, he has the longest reach out of all of them. He has the safest weapon to use from a distance, striking-wise. Those two facts alone, he should get ranked higher. But clearly all three of us still think he's number four.
See, even with saying that, you still say he's number four.
Yeah, so Adam, I completely agree with everything you just said, and I still rank number four. Like,
because Michelangelo is so dumb.
Well, you know what's dumb is that I know you said excluding the games, but in the back of my head, it's still part of it. He was always the slowest. Like, he would do his stupid, like, which game was it? The third one? He would do this, like, rolling attack with his bow, his bow staff, and it would take forever to do, and he would swing it slower, and it's like, what? How is this? Sucks.
The devs just nerfed him because they're like, no one likes Donatello, so let's make him the crappy character.
Yeah, like nobody would ever select him. When we would play like co-op games, I would be Raphael, my brother would be Leonardo all the time. And maybe once in a while, if we couldn't use those characters, we would do Michelangelo. But it's like, if one of us gets stuck with Donatello, we'd say, ah, fuck. All right, maybe I'll die soon so I can reselect my character.
I think they basically screwed Donatello because they also made him have the purple mask. And, you know, kids, males especially, are not going to play with that.
Well, you know, in the comic, they all had red.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess it would be really difficult to tell them apart. So it's not, it's like a no-brainer that they would change the mask colors. But
good move on the redesign. But yes, I agree. I like, when I was little, purple was like my least favorite color. I was like, God. So I think, I'm sure they had a subconscious effect on that choice. But I'm sure I've probably told you this anecdote already, Iggy. But like, it's funny when I think of this whole Donatello versus pretty much everyone else debate. like a specific thing comes to mind, and it's funny because it just reminds me of like how like epically important probably the most trivial thing in the whole world is when I was like of that age, you know. I remember being like in first grade, and like I remember like me and my friend Dan had this like ongoing kind of back and forth about it, where he was like, no dude, you just don't understand, Donatello is super kick butt. And I'm like, no. And they're like, in the show, he's the, you know, Leonardo's the leader and he kicks butt, and Donatello like is such, so boring. And and like, I'm sure clearly both of us had been watching the show religiously at the time. And there's this episode, and if you know, if you may or may not remember, where you know, like there's the, I can't remember exactly the name of it, but you know, like there's the Technodrome, and like there was that, you know, what's his name? Krang?
The brain.
Right. Okay. And that big, like, robot suit dude that he would get inside of, right? Okay. So there's one episode where Krang, like, finds some way to make himself, like, insanely huge. He's like this 100 foot.
Didn't he do that a couple times?
Probably. But, like, in this one, he's totally crushing, like, everything. And finally, the turtles, they're like, oh, well, if we can get inside maybe we can kick its ass. And so they get inside, they go all the way up to the head, and they're like looking for some sort of,
like, a microchip?
Yeah, like a mechanism or something to shut it down. And what they find is this, like, mysterious, magical kind of, like, or not like an orb, but kind of like a disc that's been lodged into one of, like, the, you know, the mechanical pieces of Krang's machine, you know? And they're like, that's the thing. If only we could, like, smash that, then we'd be good. And there's this distinct scene where, like, it's almost as if it was written for me and my friend in this debate, where, like, Leonardo, like, immediately jumps up there with his double, like, swords, you know, his, like, whatever it is, and just tries so damn hard to cut it out of it. and he's like slicing the edges and just like slam, 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 nothing, no effect. And like, they're like, dudes, we gotta get out of here. Let's go. And Leonardo gives up, and then Donatello jumps up there and with his bow just goes bam, and like with the long end of it just knocks it right out of there, like one hit. And it totally solves the whole problem, and the whole machine gets crushed and destroyed. And I was like, oh no, like watching the episode as a kid, like, crap, I don't believe it. Donatello saved the day. Where Leonardo couldn't do shit, you know? It's like, this is like a double whammy.
Couldn't have Raphael used his sai and just thrown it?
That's
actually
true.
Couldn't any of them have done that?
But I guess this brings up Adam's point, which is
it took the brain.
Took the brains, exactly. Only he thought of the idea. So
that's true.
So yeah, I remember the very next day being like, I'm like, yeah, dude, so I totally saw that episode yesterday. He's like, see what I'm talking about? I'm like, yeah, all right. I have to give cool points now to
Anyway. Well, yeah, at least they give him, they throw him a bone every once in a while.
Yep. Yeah. But,
still, or the game's a success.
And we were just too clouded with hatred to notice that he's actually cool.
They need to make another Turtles game. I mean, they redid Turtles in Time recently on XBLA.
Yeah.
But it's not the same. I want like a brand new, really nice, like arcadey action game with them. It'd be a lot of fun.
I agree.
But like, actually make all of them fun to play. Don't do it so that I don't want to play Michelangelo or Donatello.
Right. Exactly. Have them all be awesome somehow.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think the Castle Crasher guys should do it.
That would be a good idea because they've got that nailed. That arcade side scrolly feel. Although, they would. I'd almost like to see it done in their kind of like sketchy Flash style. That would be interesting, like cartoony Turtles again.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it lost something when they did that 3D version of Turtles in Time, where they're all like just 3D models instead of like flat ones. Like, I know technically it was supposed to look better, but it actually felt a little emptier. Because the detail just wasn't there from like the drawn sprites from before.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Kind of like how they did that with Rocket Knight Adventures.
Yeah.
although that game's not bad, so.
It's not bad, but the music was not as good, except for that first level where they tried to just play the theme over again.
I can't agree more that, like, couldn't agree more that the music is super disappointing. In that game, and like, although, like, as perhaps the biggest Rocket Knight fan in history, I must say that, like, the later stages at least start to turn into what a Rocket Knight game really should be.
Oh, really?
And
I didn't stick with it that long. That's why I didn't do it.
See, like, the first few stages, I was like, dude, this does not feel like what this game should be, and then. Finally, when you start to get into the fortresses of, like, the wolves, you know, it's like, aha, like, yeah, this, you know, this is a little bit more like, you know, stage 6, stage 7 of, like, original Rocket Knight with, like problem-solving area. Because there's, once you got into the last half of the first game, there's a lot of, like, problem-solving areas, like action mixed with problem-solving. And this game starts to turn into that, too, where it's like, oh, shit, there's, like, recursively designed levels where you have to, like, kind of snake back around into them and find it's sort of maze-like, but also sort of like, I have to hit this lever to knock that wall out, and then, you know, I have to destroy X amount of enemies to make, you know, something else occur. And I was like, sweet, this is starting to get back on track here. So, anyway, sorry, I think we just, speaking of getting back on track, I think that was like 10 different... We like somehow found our way all the way.
That's all right, because we were winding down actually on our news bits, unless you had anything interesting that you've noticed this week.
No, I mean, today I was starting to take a look at kind of like the games that came out of Comic-Con, or the games that were reviewed at Comic-Con, since that was just this past week. And yeah, I mean, like, unfortunately, I didn't look at too much of it. The only thing that I noticed that caught my eye was Ratchet & Clank 4.
Oh, where it's going to be all co-op, right?
Oh, is that the deal?
I think is that four for something for all?
Yeah, one for all, right?
Something like that.
Or like all for one, something
all
like
for,
that.
Yeah, where you can play Ratchet Clank, shit, the commander guy, and actually the bad guy, I think.
Oh, it's pretty sweet. Yeah, so that's gonna be rad. What else did I read today? Oh, I was just reading about just, you know, like the PlayStation updates, how, like, you know, Golden Axe is now available on PSN, which is rad. And
it might be free if you have PlayStation Plus, right? They usually do that with those old games.
It's free if you have PlayStation Plus. Oh. I no longer have PlayStation Plus. But,
I'll have to go get it.
Yeah, it's, you can go grab it, and that'd be, you should, if you don't mind, you should let me know what the, how it is, like, you know, if it's basically, well, I went on there and I got, like, the classic Sonic 2 when I had PSN or PlayStation Plus. And so it's probably exactly like that, where it's just like, oh, we just blew it up mega big, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it's almost like they're running an emulator or something. Just, they can cut off some of the screen.
Maybe the thing I'm most curious about then would be, is it like Sonic 2, where it's a port of the Genesis version, or is it like Mortal Kombat 2 on PlayStation 3, where it's actually a port of exactly the arcade version?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, and that would be, because that would be a world of difference on Gold.
Yeah.
The arcade version is amazing, and the Sega Genesis version is not amazing.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes.
Right.
But I'll have to look at that. It might be the arcade one then.
That would be super rad. I would buy it in a heartbeat. So if you're listening, Sony.
I'm sure they are.
Or, damn, who originally made that game? Was it, crud, was it Sega that actually created the game in the first place?
Let me look at up.
I think they were the developers.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, so Sega.
Yeah, Sega. Well, there's different versions were handled by different companies. It looks like the Wonder Swan version was Bandai, and the computer version was some company called Probe.
Damn it. Who actually developed the game?
I think it's a Sega, though.
Okay, right on. Yeah, that's rad. Cool, I dig it. Hey, speaking of Sega, and in honor of the most amazing Hedgehogs... anniversary. I was just having a fit of nostalgia with somebody the other day about, somebody asked me, they said, when was the first time that you ever saw Sonic the Hedgehog, ever, like in your life? And they didn't mean, when did you see the video game?
Uh-huh.
They meant, when did you see an image of Sonic?
Oh.
I was like, say no more. This memory has been burned into my mind. And I was like, it's got to be that original TV ad that came out. And before I spoil it, can you remember what it is? Very first Sonic the Hedgehog television ad and what it looked like.
Is it the blast processing one?
No, that was when they were getting into that Genesis versus Super Nintendo console commercial, where it was just like, buy a Genesis. It's better than...
And it would end everything with Sega.
Yeah. And pretty much like every single commercial except this one. This one did not have it.
I can't remember. You obviously know very specifically what the... Yeah.
It was before they did Welcome to the Next Level as their ad campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no Sega at the end of the ads. And the ad aired in 1991. And Adam, do you remember it?
No way.
No way. But yeah, it's still a cool commercial. You can look it up on YouTube. It's this, like, it's sort of like a school guidance counselor. But sort of not. It's like this, supposed to be like this old, like, hag woman, you know? It's a woman played by a man in the commercial.
Mm.
And she's like talking about, and she's supposed to be like this super conservative. Maybe she just was at like a little tea time, like, get together with her friends, because it looks like she's in her cottage or something.
Mm-hmm.
And she has sitting on her table like a little picture of Sonic the Hedgehog, like a stand up in a frame Sonic. And then in the background is like a television, and it's playing scenes from the game, you know. like you're seeing like Starlight Zone and stuff like that.
Right,
and
right.
She's kind of conversing with you about how radical and how like unconservative and how like rude Sonic is. Uh-huh. And she's like, you know, have you guys heard about Sonic the Hedgehog? Like it's you know, it's so bizarre and like it's moves way too fast and it's a little too like crazy and like and hip for me, you know, and I'm not really into this thing. And she's like, if only Sonic was like that nice boy Mario, you know, like he's so much more well behaved, you know. And as she's saying this, like the Sonic in the picture frame is like animated. He's like an animated character. And he's kind of listening to this conversation and kind of like not digging it. and then at the very end, like he speeds out of the frame and like it makes all the stuff on their table go everywhere. And she's like, whoa, you know, and she tries to like stomp him out with her hand. She's like, that little brat, she says. And then it's like, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog now available for Sega Genesis, you know. And I remember seeing that commercial and be like, holy crap, like, I don't care what this is. I must have it.
Just from that commercial?
Yeah. I was like,
wow,
this
that's
looks
a good advertisement.
What's that?
Screw you, Grandpa.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I hate that woman, and by extension, I love everything she hates.
I guess that's a good way to start that next level campaign, like,
yeah.
From that into all that advertising where Sega was just, like, saying, like, you need to be extreme and an asshole and
I just like that.
Yep.
For all of our listeners out there, if you haven't seen this ad, I highly encourage a YouTube search and do yourself a favor and pay homage to our one of our greatest mascots in history and see this great piece of advertising.
Well, you know, YouTube that later.
Yeah. What's that?
EG's just going to link it.
Oh,
I'll
yeah,
try right. to. I'll link some of these things we've been talking about tonight in the show notes. So hopefully I'll remember. If I don't, somebody can bug me about it.
Yeah. Quite good.
So that's. I think that's about it. Ending with the nostalgia note.
Yeah. Sorry for being a Johnny come lately this week.
Oh, that's fine. Everybody's busy. So, everybody, if anybody has any topics that they'd like us to discuss or talk about, or any other nostalgia that like you've been reminded of from listening to our conversation today, just email us at nameofgamepodcast@gmail.com, and we'll read it on the air. And
yeah.
Be very grateful for comments. Yep. I think that's about it. So until next time, this is all of us telling you guys to have fun playing games. See you next time, guys. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye.